In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Love Your Life on Oman FM. With me, Maya Al-Saeed. In the studio with me today, I have not one guest, I have two guests. Alhamdulillah, and today I have Naseema and Kawthar. Assalamu alaykum to you both.
Alaykum assalam.
Today's topic, I think I should just put a warning from now that it's going to be an emotional one, because I don't know if you remember Naseema, but Naseema came last season. And it was season 5, and the title of the episode, inshallah, we will share it in the footnotes. But it was going back to the Quran. And in that episode, as usual, all of you, whoever wanted to join, as you know, you can do so. And even this episode and all the other episodes on Love Your Life, you can call in, because this is a live show, and you can do so by calling 246-02-058. So on that particular episode, a very special person called. And that was your mom, Naseema. And I remember inviting her, subhanAllah, to join us this year. That was the plan we had as humans, subhanAllah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a different plan for her. And it's very sad to say, but she is no longer with us. May Allah have mercy on her soul. So the reason why we are gathered here today in this episode is to have Naseema, who is her daughter, to talk about the loss, and as well, Kawthar is a very close friend of her. So we will talk about how Naseema coped with the loss, and then we'll talk about her, Amina. We refer to her as Yaqub. And please give us the grace that you always do by allowing us to be emotional, because it's quite an emotional topic, and I really appreciate Naseema and Kawthar and those who will be calling, inshallah, sharing with us their memories of Amina Yaqub. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Naseema, you are here today, and you agreed to do this. You agreed to talk about the loss of your mother and how you coped, because I believe the Quran and the Sahaba played a huge role in that. How long, first of all, just talk about Yaqub. How long has it been since she's no longer with us?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's been 7.5 months.
Subhanallah.
Sometimes it feels like yesterday, and sometimes it feels like a really long time ago. Subhanallah. So for those who listened to last season, my episode, I talked about how much it changed me and how much the experience of getting to know the Quran again in a structured way, and getting those sahaba, the companions that I had, I felt like I was being prepared for something. And when Eid came, I felt I was being prepared for that. And then when, before Arafah, subhanAllah, I remember Arafah last year before Eid al-Adha, I felt like it was my first Arafah ever.
SubhanAllah.
And then I went for Umrah, and subhanAllah, that was, and it's not my first time going for Umrah, and I just kept saying, subhanAllah, if Allah hadn't put me with those people, and I hadn't gone through that experience of understanding when Allah speaks to me, I wouldn't have had that experience in Umrah. I was crying almost the whole time, and I just didn't want to leave. And it's just, you feel everything completely different. After this experience, I can say confidently, Allah was preparing me for all those other things, but He was preparing me for this also. And there will be more things that I'm still preparing for. SubhanAllah. So I'm not going to go into detail on everything that happened. It was unexpected.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, yani, we assume everything lasts forever. Health. Especially health. We forget that we can lose our health in a moment. In my mom's case, it wasn't that she lost her health. And maybe other people would disagree with my opinion that Allah gave us a reason, like a tangible thing, something that we can see in front of us so that we can accept. Because we all know that when our time comes, it comes. It doesn't need a reason.
Very true.
So for us, it was over the span of 5 days, from her being perfectly well to us saying our final goodbyes.
SubhanAllah.
And you'd have to go and give me some more questions.
Okay. I'd let you talk. I think one of the hardest things about losing someone, not only the fact that you lose someone, but you lose someone unexpectedly, and someone that close to you. And I love the way you referred to Allah's plan, that He was preparing you for this. I think it's a beautiful way to see Allah's blessings, even in this time of challenge. Yani, I can't imagine anyone in this time. You tend to be very angry. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, there was no anger.
SubhanAllah.
There wasn't any anger from, I'm not talking about myself. I'm on this journey as an individual. I have 6 siblings. I have my father. And alhamdulillah, none of us, we had, she passed away in the hospital. Some people would come and say due to medical error, but we saw it. It wasn't medical error. For all the whys we got, there was no why. We never asked ourselves why, because it was khalas. Qada. It was written, and she was meant to go that way. And alhamdulillah, she went the way she went.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
I think you're one of the first few people that accept the death of such a close one with such, yani, for the lack of a better word, with such grace. Yani, because most people, that's what the first thing, it's anger. Why did she have to go? Why did Allah take her from me? You know, all these angry questions. But yani, it's funny that we question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of anger, but we don't question Him when He gives us stuff. Why He gave me? No, it's only when He takes something from us.
That you feel that He gave you something.
Yes, that you feel.
That you had something.
That you had something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from you. That was, to be honest, never to be out. It was never ours.
Exactly.
We all belong to Allah, even our own children. Yes, Allah has gifted them to me, but they are not my children. I am someone's daughter, but I'm not his or hers.
Exactly.
We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I can't say that we're not exactly where we all want to be. So do I say 100% that I feel like she wasn't mine?
No, of course not. She's your mom.
You can't. I can't.
And especially a mother. This is my mom.
And that is where I had a conversation with someone very dear to me. And we were just having our just random, a lot of people are victims of my voice messages, I apologize.
I'm one of them, but I enjoy them.
They're podcasts. She's also another victim. But we were having this conversation. It was something very casual that ended up being very deep. But I lost my train of thought right now.
You were saying that how somebody, you had a deep conversation. And then about, do you remember Kawthar?
I'm going to step in for 1 second and just add something in this process. Because one of the reasons why I respect Naseema so incredibly much in this particular process or in this stage of her journey within Islam is I lost my mom when I was very young. I was only 18. But Nasima taught every one of us, every single one of us, during the Azza, how this is something that was written, and how we need to use our religion in a way where we can make dua and thank Allah for the time that we've had with her. It is not in our place to ask the wise.
Very true.
We need to show the gratefulness for the time that we've had with her. And we need to be able to bring the vision that she had within Islam forward and spread it amongst us, and the knowledge that she gained, because she was incredibly strong and very wise within Islam.
MashaAllah.
She was one of the first people I met when I came to Oman. And her knowledge about Islam, no one could compete with her. She was always very, very pious and very quiet, but she was a pillar that everybody was leaning toward. And I think after her passing, that was the biggest shock for a lot of people, that she had passed and they hadn't been able to say goodbye. But Nasima stood incredibly strong throughout those 3 days of mourning. I have never seen anyone with the strength that she showed that time. And she guided a lot of people through that difficult time. Of not asking why, but just showing that great and gratefulness and gratitude to Allah.
Just accepting.
Exactly.
And such a hard thing to accept. And even I'm here listening to this, and I'm the first one to start crying.
I started crying before we started.
But because, you know, when we say that this Quran is a gift, and especially when we, like Kawthar said, we lean sometimes towards people. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that these people, they will leave.
This exactly is where I learned my lesson. Like, this is where I'm saying that Allah prepared me. Because looking back, 2 years. I'm not going to say 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years back. Maybe even less. I wouldn't have made it through. Honestly. Yani, I go back and I replay everything in my mind. And I thought I'd be done replaying. But subhanAllah, every time I replay, there's a new scene that pops up. That it just makes sense. It makes sense that I went through what I went first. I went through all the steps, those steps. And still now, I don't know how. Other than fadlullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of my teachers, one of our beloved teachers, mentioned something once that I remembered as soon as my mom passed. Now, I'm going to bring up our first ayah. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ.
So she's looking through her phone and I'm looking through mine.
Al-Baqarah 156.
Okay. You want to recite
okay.
it?
Okay. I'm going to give a little story before that.
Okay.
Okay. I remember you had Rehab on a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not stepping over a line here, Rehab.
I think it'll be too late by the time. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Rehab lost her brother a month before I lost my mom.
It was that close.
Yeah. And I went, first day of the funeral, and I was sitting and watching Rehab and her sisters and her mother. And I was crying. And I was sitting next to my sister-in-law. And I was crying, like sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at me. She said, do you even remember? I said, I don't remember her. We grew up together. Me and Rehab and Lamia. I mean, I've known them since I was really young. But I said, that's not why I'm crying. I was watching how calm and how tranquil and just content the four of them were sitting there. And I said, I can see their love for Allah and Allah's love for them, and I want what they have. they were sitting there just calm. I'm not going to say no one was crying. It's okay to cry. And that's something, it's like,
but there's we're no human. Like,
yeah. Drama. And there was acceptance. I mean, going up to them and they smile.
Mm.
It's something very hard to do once you've lost someone, that someone else that's not even connected to you by blood makes you happy. So I was just saying, I want what they have. I want what they have. And 2 days before my mom passed, somebody asked me about, had I gone to the funeral?
Of Rehab.
Because they heard Lemia's, one of her episodes on Instagram, talking about the loss.
The loss, yes.
And she knew that I was in touch with them. And when I was telling her, after everything happened, I was just thinking, me telling that story was like a reminder to me that I remember the night before my mom passed. Of course, when you're stuck in a very difficult situation, we all do this. That's when we flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when we read Quran. That's when we make dua. That's when, and we were all making dua for her to get better. That night, looking back, I didn't make dua for her to get better. I made dua that Allahumma la nas'aluka radd al-qada wa lakin nas'aluka al-lutfi, that Allah, whatever you have written, we don't ask you to push it away, it's done, but be gentle. And I remember saying, if what we're expecting happens, then please نطقني إن الله وإن إليه راجعون. Because of something I heard one of my teachers saying, that the ability to say it in that first moment of shock doesn't come just like that. You have to have like a balance that you tap into. And I was just so scared that I wouldn't be able to have it. I wouldn't be able to have it. And we knew when it happened. But when the news was told to me, my aunt sat in front of me and told me. And before I cried, that's what I said.
Alhamdulillah.
And just being able to breathe that, because right away, this ayah. Okay, you go ahead and read it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
It's the ayah before it too.
The ayah before it, you want?
Yeah. وَلَا نَبْلُوا أَنَّكُمْ.
You want me to read the Arabic? You read the Arabic.
Okay.
I'll read the English.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَا نَبْلُوا أَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
So the translation is, so this is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155. And it will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. Who, when disaster strikes them, say, indeed, we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we will return. Those are the ones upon whom are blessings from their Lord and mercy, and it is those who are the rightly guided. Subhanallah.
It's because I was so scared that I wouldn't fall in that. And I'm not saying, يعني, خلاص, I got it all figured out.
Yeah, of course not.
In that time, that is sabr. Being able to say it, that is sabr. That was given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mean, an hour and 3 hours to give all the details is not enough.
I know, it's not enough.
But the effect after that was carried on from that specific
moment
and from what I had before with the Sohbat al-Quran. Because we can have Sohbat Saliha, but Sohbat al-Quran is different. And
what's the difference?
Sohbat Saliha, you have people that will help, will guide you, okay? They will keep you away from wrong. But Sohbat al-Quran, when things like this happen, they don't talk. Their speech is ayat. And I lived it firsthand. I lived it firsthand. Before my mom passed, the night before my mom passed, I had a group. There was no speech. Even the dua was ayat. Rasha came in. And her dua was ayat. That stuck with me, that are stuck with me till now. And I use them till now. And after that, these people know who they are. They didn't speak. I had Rehab coming, and in one of the hardest moments after I washed my mother, and we said our final goodbyes, they took her. That's when I felt, okay, now this is real. I mean, really, really, she's gone. And I had people coming in saying, don't cry. Mm-hmm. And be patient. Hold yourself together. I had Rehab sit in front of me and just put her hand on my chest and read. I didn't know what she was reading. And she gave me a bottle of water. Drink this. My maqrai.
Mm. My maqrai means water
that's been read upon.
Recited ayat. Yeah. Verses of the ayat have been recited upon.
And where her hand was cool. My heart was burning. I could feel that bond between mother and child severed. Mm. And that is a real thing. But where her hand was, and she was only reading Quran, that was enough.
شفاء لما في الصدور.
Subhanallah, I lived it. And that's, subhanallah, yani, any moment of doubt I had that it is Shifa, just shattered. Mm. This experience was just, it's like, you lived it. How can you doubt something that you experienced firsthand?
It's a beautiful reminder, but it's such a hard lesson. But sometimes, يعني, without realizing, we need to go through these very hard tests that we go through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can feel Allah's mercy. So we can feel Allah's blessings. And as you said, had it not been for the Quran, first and foremost, your relationship, your yearning as well for wanting to be with Allah, for going back. Many people get the chances, get the messages, but they don't take action. Yeah. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put some in our way, a book or something, just to remind that human being, I am here. Come to me. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that, yani, Allah yahdi man yasha bighayr hisab. But that person doesn't take that first step. Even within themselves, they don't take it. So then they'll continue to be lost. And even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them in challenges, which is first and foremost meant for us to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they still don't take it, and they continue living in pain and being lost and heartbroken. فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That Allah subhanahu, that you put that intention to go back to Allah, that you continued, even though, because it's not easy, as I've said, and all my guests say, this is not an easy thing, especially considering the environment and the way life is going. It's not easy, but it's, wallahi, يعني, mark my words, when you do take that first step, your life changes.
It does change. And even for someone who reverts to Islam, what I see now, and I'm incredibly grateful to Allah that I have reverted to Islam, because the love that I feel from Allah now, in a situation, for example, with losing a very, very good friend, I wouldn't be without it.
Mm.
But it has taken so many steps and so long journey to get where I am today. And you know, when you say in Islam that maybe something is not good for you, Allah knows better.
Mm.
And He prepares in His own way the path for when you are ready for the different tests. That is what I feel incredibly grateful for, that I had that love or that connection to Allah. And Amina showed me that when this happened. Nasima showed me that. I wouldn't be without it. But there is not one single day, one single minute, I don't feel the pain of the loss. But you turn it around and you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah is there to show us the way in how to move forward. Yes, she's not there, but she is there in a different way. A lot of the community became very shocked and showed anger and frustration. But Nasima was incredibly strong to turn that around and say, Alhamdulillah, we have to move on.
Subhanallah. I believe we have a caller. Thank you for waiting patiently, by the way. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi sayyida Mia.
How are you, Dr. Layan? Go ahead, Dr. Layan.
Yes, I just want to say something. When I hear your story and Nasima, when I hear about your strength and how some of the others got angry, Subhanallah al-Azim, it reminds me of when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. And his closest person to him, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, was the one who was patient and steadfast. And they give an example of Sayyidina Umar, who was angry and, you know, going around and shouting out his anger. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr comes and says to him, if we were erbuding, if we were, you know, worshipping the Prophet, then the Prophet is a man and he has passed on. But if we worship Allah, then Allah is forever and never die. So I really also believe sometimes we endure loss and God puts loss in our life to show, to reorient us that, you know, first love is Him, and that it's everyone, true. All it's of us will true. Be going. So we're all temporary. But as long as we put that compass straight, always, you know, we'll be able to remain steadfast, deal with it with grace and patience, and then please Him, because ultimately that's what he wants to see from us. Mm. Will we honor Him or will we dishonor Him? So I just wanted to say that to you.
Jazakallah khair for such a beautiful reminder.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll go for a short break, inshallah, and we'll be right back.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. Today we're talking about loss, but also blessings, subhanAllah. And in the studio with me, I have Nasima. We're talking about the loss of her mother, Umm Yaqub, and as well Kawthar, who is a very close friend to Umm Yaqub. And this is a live show. You're more than welcome to join us by calling 2460-2058. And currently on the call, I have Auntie Sukaina, who is the mother of Rehab, Dr. Lamia, Marhum Lu'ay, and Ihab. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Sukaina.
Alaikum assalam, habibi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So nice to have you join me. Thank you so much to join me on the show today with Nasima and Kawthar. And I'd just like to ask you, because I believe you had a very special relationship with Yaqub. So I believe you were one of the first, I think, to meet her when she arrived in Oman.
Yes, I can't remember exactly where.
Habibti.
But I just know it's here about 33, 34 years ago.
MashaAllah.
Yeah,
subhanAllah. And
I was not just a friend. She was my advisor. She was my mentor. She was my mufti. I used to, we were in the group together, but I had to write privately always with her. I had to be in touch every week. Otherwise, I wouldn't be peaceful. She taught me Islam, really. She taught me patience. Alhamdulillah. I met her as soon as she came from Abu Dhabi. With her, Yaqub and Nasima. And we were in touch all the time. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And inshallah, may Allah reunite you بإذن الله تعالى with your loved ones in Jannat al-Firdaws, inshallah. And you remember all these beautiful moments that you had reminding each other of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guiding, helping others to also know their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For may Allah reward you, Auntie Sakina, and all thank those you. Who you knew. And inshallah, as I said, may you all be united in Jannat al-Firdaws. Jazakallah khair, Auntie Sakina.
I designed my house for Amina. I told my husband, when we build a new house, I want a secret entrance for women. Because I have very pious friends.
Tabarak al-Rahman.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Amina is in the best place, isn't it?
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
Yes. And she doesn't want to come back to this contingent world. No way. She is very happy. وَيَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا كَأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَبِثُوا إِلَّا سَعْتًا مِنَ النَّهَارِ. This is a contingent world.
Mm.
And she knew it all the time. She worked for it. She worked for the hereafter. So if she is happy, we must rejoice as well. And Allah Ta'ala always binazil rahmah. He brings down rahmah on the relatives and on the friends before he brings musibah. So you feel rahmah. He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. And this is not our place. This place is not our place. We come here for a certain period. We finish
our time.
We finish our whatever we're meant to do in this world.
Yeah.
Do our best to humanity and to be righteous. And we have to go, and he is the best of the planners, when and how to take us. So, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair, Auntie Sakina.
She was a great woman, great friend. Alhamdulillah. We will meet.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Just as I said, and this sa'a is real sa'a in Arabic. And the Rabbik is SubhanAllah, so reassuring. Quran. And Allah is so merciful, so kind.
Alhamdulillah.
We are so grateful to be Muslims.
Alhamdulillah. Very true.
Jazakumullahu khairan.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair, Auntie. So, if you've just joined us, that was Auntie Sukaina talking about Yaqub, who's no longer with us and who is the mother of Naseema and five other children, mashallah. Six.
But we're all seven.
So six other children. And as well, I have Kawthar here with me, who is also a very close friend. Yani, subhanallah. We have another caller. Okay. Totally. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Rasha, welcome to the show. Okay, tafadhali Rasha, we can hear you. What ayahs do you have for us today? Oh, it seems that the call got cut. Inshallah, she will call back. Rasha always calls Neeri, mashallah, every day. And she always calls, recites ayahs.
And hangs up.
Alhamdulillah. Ish, okay, tafadhali, Rasha. Sorry, we lost you there for a moment. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was saying, Rasha, what ayahs do you have for us today?
Subhanallah, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. Before reciting, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear sisters, Ustada Kawthar and my sister Naseema.
Barakallahu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Subhanallah, yani, I wanted to say that, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to see the manifestations of His names and actions, subhanallah. During this experience, subhanallah, we saw the mercy of Allah, we saw the nur of Allah. Honestly, the night before our Ustadh's death, Khalti Amina, I consider that night was like the night of nur. Allah only knows the secret of her, subhanallah, and how the situation was so difficult, but subhanallah, the way we felt, the inspiration that we got, you know, the dua, the verses. It was incredible, subhanAllah. I came back that night, I feel my heart was light. It was something different, yani, subhanAllah, even during the azan. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, who had allowed us to see the manifestations of His mercy, of subhanAllah, how the Qur'an is great, how the Qur'an is noble, how it talks. You see the different, subhanAllah, the ayat in the Qur'an is just nur and guidance, subhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her the higher ranks in Jannah, Ya Rabbil
Alameen. Ameen.
I just want to recite these ayat. It was the inspiration that Allah has allowed me to have the night before and during the days of Azan, and always when we contact me and Sister Nasima, I just always remember this. It's like this ayah is for Nasima, yani, subhanAllah. So I will read these verses, bi'idhnillah, from Surah Ash-Shu'ara, ayah 61 to 65.
Okay.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما تراءى الجمعان قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون قال كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين فأوحينا إلى موسى أن اضرب بعصاك البحر فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالطود العظيم وأزلفنا ثم الآخرين وأنجينا موسى ومن معه أجمعين سبحان الله. And when the two companions saw one another, the companions of Moses said, indeed, we are to be overtaken. Musa said, no, indeed, with me is my Lord, he will guide me. Then we inspired to Musa, strike with your staff the sea, and it parted. And each portion was like a great towering mountain.
Thank you so much, Rasha. Jazakallah khair. I can't remember what I was saying before Rasha called, but I was just looking. It's very rare that when somebody loses a person, they see it as a blessing. Yet that's the title you chose, Nasima. One loss, endless, not a blessing, endless blessing. Why? I know we mentioned the Quran, but what is there anything else that you felt?
I think the first group of blessings that we got from this was before it happened.
Hmm.
So I got to spend special time with my mom, taking care of her in the hospital.
Hmm.
Okay, and maybe at the time it felt a bit heavy.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. كيف الحال?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. كيف حالك سيدة ميا?
زين alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Just a quick call.
Yes.
To my sister Nasima.
This is my sister-in-law.
Ah, mashallah.
Nasima, كيف الحال?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Samah?
Alhamdulillah. First of all, I would like to say, may Allah forgive all of her sins and grant her Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen.
And also, I would like to say, Nasima, thank you so much to let me know about the dhikr and tadabbur. And also, may Allah bless you all with success and health, happiness, and life. Bless you, your family, and your kids, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
And also, Allahumma, may Allah accept all our dua.
Ameen, ameen.
Ameen, ameen.
Thank you.
Ameen,
jazakallah khair. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. So you were saying, I had asked you about your endless blessings, and you said the first group of blessings that you felt was that you got to spend some time with your mom before she passed.
Maybe I didn't see it as a blessing in the moment, but looking back, seeing when the blessing started, it was then. I got special time to take care of her in her hardest time.
Mm.
It was one of the hardest times for her, and it looking like in the time, it was like a nightmare for me. But looking back, I got to spend that time with her. And then this is something, I don't even know if my dad knows this, and I don't even know if I told my husband. There are people that know these things. My companions, my dhikr companions definitely know this because I ran to them to tell them. Mm. In the last few hours before she passed, I had gone home to rest. My husband forced me to go home because it was 5 very long days in the hospital. I didn't sleep. I laid down and I got up an hour later, went back to the hospital, and I went with my mushaf. And up till then, no one got a chance to go in and read Quran. Rasha was there with me. She said, just in any way, just play Quran. It was so chaotic with doctors coming in and going out, and just it was such a mess that none of us got a chance, and there were times they wouldn't let us go in. I go up to the ICU door, ring the bell, and the nurse says, we can't let you in, too many people came in. She's talking about my aunts and my siblings and my dad. And I was like, I haven't seen her yet. And she says, come back tomorrow morning. Come back at 9. And I told her, what if there is no tomorrow?
You told the nurse
that? I told the nurse, what if there is no tomorrow? I am only coming to read Quran and I'll leave. There's nothing else that I could think to do. You're so helpless in those moments. And this was a few hours after the doctors told us that everything humanly possible has been done. That is a blessing too, that we were able to witness. It's not that there is no what if the doctors did this and what if they... This is how we came to that acceptance. And I go in, and she was so peaceful. Given the circumstances, she looked like she was just sleeping. And I remember going in, standing next to the bed. I talked to her a bit. I told her I missed her. And I told her I remembered how she loved to hear me read Quran. When I opened the mushaf, I didn't even know what to read. And I remembered her favorite surah was Surah Ar-Rahman. So I start reading. And she had, just cutting it all short, her blood pressure was very, 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 very low. To the point it was causing organ failure. And I was watching the monitor as I was reading. I read, but there were certain ayahs. Wallahi al-Azim. I was watching her heart rate go up. And this is where I'm saying that there is no blessing more than to witness the heart's relationship with the Quran. She was in a coma. She couldn't hear. We thought she couldn't hear. She couldn't respond. She couldn't move. She couldn't breathe. There are, subhanAllah, then there was one ayah. And when I go back and think, it wasn't for her, it was for me. I get to, كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. We were waiting for her blood pressure to go up to 80. It went up to 79. I was watching it rise. And we were just waiting for that one number. I stop reading and it drops.
Subhanallah.
And there were ayahs from the Jannah, from Jannah, ayat al-Jannah. Mm-hmm. And I could see that reaction. I read Surah Yasin and I read Surah Qaf. I stood next to her bed for an hour just reading Quran and I left. And coming back to this, I told you the last gift she gave me was a mushaf. The last gift she gifted us all was a mushaf. And I was thinking about this day before yesterday. I realized the last gift she ever gifted me was the Quran. And the last gift I ever gifted her was the Quran.
MashaAllah.
And not everyone gets to have something like, gets to experience something like that.
SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You know, listening to your story, if there was ever a way to say goodbye to someone or to have that relationship, I think everyone would want to have what you had with your mom.
That's why. I was just saying, SubhanAllah. The mercy that came with it was a mercy for all of us It was a mercy. We got to say goodbye, and alhamdulillah, we were with her. We were with her in her best times and in her worst times, and alhamdulillah, me and my sister watched her.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, we got to say our goodbyes. And it doesn't mean that you don't lose control sometimes. And this is where the difficulties sometimes are worse later on.
Yeah.
And I've had times that were so... So hard that I felt like I couldn't get through. And there's one specific incident.
I'll let you continue that incident, but we've had a caller who has been waiting for a long time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. This is Hannat.
Allah Hannat. How lovely to hear your voice again.
جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. I'm happy to take part of, on this episode and talk about someone who is so dear to many. And first of all, I'd like to echo what Sister Kawthar mentioned earlier about the strength Nasima exhibited during the Azza time. Her strength gave us strength during that time. And subhanAllah, because subhanAllah, things like that, when something like that happens unexpectedly, subhanAllah, many thoughts can come to your head, but Nasima kept saying, Alhamdulillah, she is where Allah had decided to be the best for her.
Alhamdulillah.
And that gave us, subhanAllah, specifically, I'm sure me and many others, comfort, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I met Sister Nasima, Sister Amina, Ami Yaqub, Allah arhamha, first time in around 2001, I believe, in summer, when and she was a guest in one of our summer programs, actually the first summer program, I think, that we ran for girls. We used to call it Multaqa al-Banat, and then we later called it Multaqa al-Zuhur. And she was a guest on that program to talk to us and tell the girls about her journey to Islam.
MashaAllah.
And subhanAllah, of course, it was an eye-opener, heart-opener, mind-opener, whatever you want to call it. You know, it was the first time many girls hear the story, and also the sisters, you know, who are helping me to run that program, to hear the real, you know, in front of them, live person talking to them about their journey to Islam and the challenges that you know she faced until she were where she was then. A light person, silent, quiet, humble, and subhanAllah, she is a da'ya, silently but loudly. So she wouldn't speak to you much about Islam or but she is a walking da'i, subhanAllah. We had a couple of things of you know common events or activities later on after that interview, because I was the one who was interviewing her or during the program, the summer program about her journey to Islam. And then, but later on, alhamdulillah, I had so many activities together with her.
Alhamdulillah.
One of them was she created the halaqas, you know, the English halaqas for new Muslims, and specifically for European, American, European Muslims.
Mm.
And alhamdulillah, I was part of that. And she also... MashaAllah, we used to attend and work together on the public talks that, you know, the Diwan or the ministry of Awqaf sometimes used to host in the country. And Alhamdulillah, Amina and I would be together in one of, you know, taking one of the things that we need to do or during those talks, like collecting questions from the public,
yeah,
or maybe arranging people's, you know, sittings, arrangements or things like that. And so, Alhamdulillah, I had a couple of interactions or many interactions with her. And so when the news about her passing came to me, the way I felt was like a mountain of da'wah. A mountain of da'wah or da'i had just collapsed. And many people didn't realize her power in giving da'wah.
Until she was no longer there.
Subhanallah. And the impact she had on many people around, whether they are Muslims or they were not Muslims. As Blasukaina mentioned earlier, she gave us da'wah. We who were born Muslims, we learned from her a lot. Just by looking at her, let alone when she spoke, let alone when she advised, let alone when she suggested things, you know, improvements. And so, alhamdulillah, I know we can talk about her for ages and we wouldn't be able to cover everything.
Yeah, subhanallah. Abla Hannat, I really appreciate you joining the show. I wish we had more time. Sadly, we only have about 5 minutes left. I still need to get back to Naseema. She wanted to finish something, so unfortunately I'll have to cut this a bit short. But jazakallah khair, and may Allah as well unite you and all your loved ones, inshallah, including Yaqub, inshallah, in Jannat al-Firdaus, bidnillah. Jazakallah khair for calling.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, sorry, I had to cut you short to take Abla Hannat's call.
Yeah. I was just talking about how hard things are, and they can be very, 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 very difficult. In ways that you think, like, how was I standing in the funeral? And in this moment, I can't even get up out of bed. Mm. We tend to lose track of what we're supposed to do. And subhanAllah, up till now, I've been there, and I forget, and something happens that reminds me. So I'll just go through, because I do want to mention specific ayahs that have really, really, really affected me. 4 months after she passed, so it wasn't just right after. My sister got married, and the next day I found out I had COVID. And it's in times like that that you want your mom. Mm. And I was crying. I couldn't stop crying. I was crying so much, and I just wanted her. And my husband took me to the hospital. I was really, really sick. And I remember telling him, I cannot handle the loss. I can't deal with losing her. And it's the first time I ever vocalized it. I never felt it as much. And my husband stepped out, and I was sitting in the emergency room by myself. I take out my phone. I open Aya app, which, that is one of the biggest blessings.
Yes, I love that app.
And I just open it, and the ayah that comes up, that my eyes just fall on, and this is one that Muskan mentioned, and it made me cry when I heard it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. And that just reminded me, you lost something that isn't yours.
Mm.
I was saying, I can't deal with losing her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to me directly. He gave her to me. He took her away from me. بيدك الخير. And that part really affected me, because good came out of it.
Mm.
Even if I don't know what it is. He controls all good. If you want to read the translation.
What's the ayah? I didn't...
It's Al-Imran 26. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكُ
الْمُلْكُ 26. There were two ayahs that you mentioned even earlier that I didn't translate. The one in Surah Al-Rahman, but I'll do that later.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is the translation of the ayah that Nasima just read. Say, O Allah, owner of sovereignty, you give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from whom you will. You honor whom you will, and you humble whom you will. In your hand is all good, subhanAllah. Indeed, you are over all things competent.
And that was enough. I slept after that. I felt like I was losing everything, and I slept after that ayah. This maybe was one of the first ayahs that I felt that really, really spoke to me, that what's done is done. Mm. And you just stay on the same track you were on. And just a few weeks ago, I was having one of those moments that, actually not last week. And again, with Ramadan, it's really hard. And I just sit there and I just think, it's like, how are we going to deal with Eid?
Because last Ramadan she was here. She called in on the show.
Eid morning. I was telling my husband, it's like, my Eid was never complete until I had my mom's RC. Mm. And I was just feeling so much pain. And then that night, I opened the Mus'haf. And my eyes fall on another ayah. Al-Anfal, ayah 66. Al-Ana khafafa Allahu ankum wa alima anna fikum dha'fa. And there is nobody can give more compassion. And just tabtaba. Mm. More than that ayah.
Now Allah has lightened the hardships for you, and he knows that among you is weakness. That's the beginning of that.
Because we're weak. That's why we feel the way we do.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just add one thing in all of this. And especially for those who are reverts and perhaps have started the journey and find it difficult many times and feel that they're alone, that the decision that they have made can be very, very hard. Mm. Amina always said something which I explained to Nasima and which I am taking with me every single day, which she did and she used when her days were difficult. She took 1 minute at a time, 5 minutes at a time, an hour at a time, and she looked between each prayer. And no more than that. When things become very, very, very difficult to face or to handle, we have to break it down.
SubhanAllah.
And that way she overcame a lot. She taught me how to overcome. And I'm trying to support Nasima sometimes in that. We will go through difficult times. That is a test from Allah. But that's also the love Allah has for us, that we always have to remember. No matter how difficult every day becomes, that's the test Allah gives us that day.
We have to seek out His love. He loves us, but we have to see it. And the whole experience taught me that, before it happened and after. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't love us that much,
he wouldn't trust you.
He could have just taken her.
Mm. SubhanAllah. Unfortunately, as much as I'd love to...
I told you, make this 3 hours.
InshaAllah. I'm honored to have... I hadn't had the chance to meet her, but I felt like...
You actually did. You don't remember.
I don't remember. Yeah. I'm really you met bad. Her once. SubhanAllah. Anyway, I don't remember meeting her, but getting to know her, but I did get to know her today. A little bit from you and from the sisters that called. For Jazakum Allah Khair. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us the grace and accepting us to let our emotions run. Thank you, Nasima, for coming. I know this was really not easy to do, but you had a message that you wanted to share. May Allah reward you for that and Kawthar as well. Amen. Thank you so much for my amazing listeners. And inshallah, tomorrow with another episode, bidnillah, on Arman FM. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.